Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, for many of you, you might have heard the various audio clips or seen some of the TikToks that are very popular over the last few days that actually highlight the number of Chinese manufacturers, or rather luxury brands who have exposure to China in order to manufacture some of their goods. And if you haven't, here's a little snippet of what you might have been missing out on social media.
Some say as long as there's a tag saying made in China, the bag can never be luxury. However, in fact, more than 80% of the luxury bags in the world are made in China. But those luxury brands just won't acknowledge that. They take almost finished bags from China factories back to their own countries and just do the repackaging and logo installing, something like that. That way, the bags will appear at their boutiques as made in Italy or made in France. You know, those sophisticated European countries, which make you feel mysterious, royal, and thus luxury. Now, close your eyes. Let's just do a little very easy experiment in your head, okay? Imagine that you have Hermes bag and suddenly the label on it changed from made in France into made in China, while everything else like leathers, zippers, and hardware remain the same. Do you suddenly feel that your bag is not as luxury as before? If you do, that means you have been misled and poisoned by the market campaign of those luxury brands for too long. Welcome to the real world. Now you see, those bags are made in China by our intelligent and diligent Chinese artisans.
So that minute-long ad that you might have just heard, it's not even an ad. It's really audio from a TikTok that's from a Chinese TikToker called Wang Sen. Now, Wang Sen has been among many other Chinese TikTokers who have been quite literally giving us the scoop or sharing details around the manufacturing of luxury goods that typically takes place in China. Truth is, for the most part, many of us have been aware of this, but it does seem as though it is changing the perception of value when it comes to these luxury brands for consumers who weren't aware about the manufacturing hub being China. Well, we're going to take a look at this conversation in two manners now. One, primarily on understanding the backgrounds, the luxury goods, as well as the value chain of the manufacturing of these goods, but also taking a look at the brand value of luxury goods. Does your perception of value shift depending on where a product might be made? If it's produced in China, does that shift your view on the value and the price that you should actually pay for it? But also, what does this tell us about the process of building a brand to such an extent that if it comes from a certain market or has a particular name, then that automatically speaks to the value of the brand? We'll start off the conversation with Michael Zaharif, who's the co-founder of Luxity, giving us some insight. And in a moment, we will speak to Tebe Ikalafeng, who'll join us, well-known as the founder of Brand Africa and, of course, a good friend of the show here. Michael, good evening, and let's start off with you. Welcome to the show.
Great to be back with you this evening, Gugu.
Good to touch base with you, Michael. We've chatted many a times about the luxury goods market in South Africa, but also on the continent. And one thing that's quite clear is that there's a huge desire and appetite, especially for those within the affluent market, to actually want to purchase luxury goods. I guess first things first, and I know that there's certain questions that you can't answer given your lack of proximity to some of the manufacturing hubs that exist, but just take us back there. Everyone's asking the question, so is everything luxury made and produced in China?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I've been watching these videos quite closely, and I would say that, you know, just like they say 80% of luxury goods are made in China, I would say 80% of those videos are completely false, or at least incredibly misleading. For example, the video that you just audio clipped specifically speaks about Hermes Birkin. Now, Hermes has been very vocal about the fact that their Birkins are 100% manufactured in France by French artisans, so much to the fact that each Birkin is only made by one individual artisan from start to finish each bag. So it's not even shipped around the country. It's not even shipped from person to person, you know. So that type of a Birkin bag is very specifically made by Hermes, by a single artisan trained by Hermes, which takes years and years just to train. On top of that, Hermes owns their own tanneries. And for the tanneries that they don't own, they partner with tanneries to, you know, ensure the quality of their leather. So I think to a certain extent, those videos are very much made clickbaity. And although with many generalizations, you know, they also speak about luxury, and they'll scroll past logos like Nike and Zara and H&M. And those aren't really defined as your typical luxury brands. Those are more like consumer brands, etc. So I think, you know, between what they're showing you, what they're saying, and the story they're really trying to weave out there, there's very many inaccuracies. And although this has become quite a trend on TikTok, I think if we had to look at it practically, a lot of it is misleading or completely false.
Mm-hmm. I think also one thing is quite clear. It's also come at a very opportune time on the back of the tariff wars that have been announced. So we understand the political influence and that dynamic behind this. But then the question still remains, how much of a role does China still play within the luxury goods market and perhaps affiliated brands that many consumers are familiar with?
Well, it's very difficult to say. You know, there is no real data that these brands release. So, of course, there are certain parts of the brands that are manufactured in China. Of course, we know China is very well known for their silks. So Hermès would get a lot of their silk production from China, perhaps much of their materials, much of the construction of Hermès scarves, which are famous. You know, one of their well-known products can come from China because of that origin of the material. Many zippers, for example, might be made in China. So, you know, there are many parts that are made in China. And of course, we also have to realize that that doesn't make them inferior. In fact, China is a leader in many areas. But it is still false to say that, you know, the majority of this production is done there and that the brands just slap on their logo and say made in France. You know, that's quite an exaggeration. So I think it's really about breaking down, you know, the facts from the fiction to understand what's going on. And I think the problem with these videos is not so much the made in China. There's nothing wrong with something being made in China. Mm-hmm. But what these videos are actually promoting at their core is saying, you know, don't buy a Hermès branded product, buy this lookalike, buy yes. this counterfeit, right? Yes. And that's where the essence and the problem of these videos comes.
100%. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that's also been a key concern, as there is a drive towards traffic to purchase counterfeit goods. Very briefly, before we do move to Tabe, I'm just keen to understand your thoughts on this. Do you expect it to impact the demand for luxury goods at all in South Africa, given the customer base you serve, or the continent at large?
Well, I think luxury good buyers are quite discerning, and they really understand the difference between a little TikTok trend, well, we hope at least they do, and the value of what they're buying in. At the end of the day, whether it's you know, got the logo on or not, is really what matters, is the fact that when you're buying an original product, and that's what we're talking down at the essence, is if you're buying an original product, it's going to hold value. It's going to have some kind of a guarantee, some kind of a craftsmanship, and some kind of a heritage. And that's what you're buying into, especially now with the secondary market, and especially now with companies like Luxity, where you're able to resell. You know, as much as these videos might claim that you're getting much of the same product, the reality is it's not true. And there are many other issues that come with the counterfeit market. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, a discerning customer will know the difference between essentially what is propaganda and what is reality.
100%. Michael, thank you so much for your time. We're going to shift into the brand conversation now with Tebe Ikalafeng. You're more than welcome to listen and perhaps engage at a later stage. That's Tebe. That's Michael Zahariv, co-founder of Luxity, who often joins us here on the show. But we now shift gears to take a look at brand value and unpack the price that you typically pay for a luxury good. And most importantly, the perception of value. Tebe Ikalafeng is the founder of Brand Africa. You would know that he's the godfather of all things branding on the African continent. And we speak to him quite often. Oh, Mr. Ikalafeng, you must be having a field day with the analysis and the conversations that you've participated in regarding the conversations around luxury brands. And right now, there's a lot of headlines around it, not only the influence of the Chinese TikTokers, but even what's happening with some of their share prices, in particular LVMH. And that's largely due to lower earnings that they're expecting. But maybe let's just start there. How much of perception or messaging plays an influence into the value of brands and our understanding of them?
Well, my friend, who is a very successful and very wealthy, and married to a very wealthy husband as well. She's independently successful and married to an independently successful man. The husband bought her a bag for 100,000, a Louis Vuitton bag for 100,000 rand. Mm-hmm. And says, oh, here's your birthday, happy birthday. She's like, I was so mad that she bought me a 100,000 rand bag. The next bag, I bought a fake one at, and my next Louis Vuitton bag was a fake one. He says, you know what? Nobody knows, because they know me to be Mrs. X, and then I'm successful, that I do not just use fakes. And what is the point? The point just being, it's really in the eyes of the beholder. Luxury is in the eyes of the beholder. But of course, as Mark says, the discerning customer knows what's luxury, knows the finer detail. But China has refined it to such a point that even the most refined eyes now cannot even tell the difference. Because even they do have grades of fakes. Mm. They've got the cheap fake, made fake, real fake, whatever it is. But I mean, people buy fakes because they cannot afford the real thing, yeah, generally. Not because, like my friend who said, I just felt my husband was wasting money, but they buy fakes because they can't afford the real thing. And why would they buy fake instead of a cheap, non-luxury brand? Because they are buying into a class. They're buying into some club. They want to belong to something. And because they buy it from affordability, one, as I said, they can't afford it. But second, they get into a social, it's because of social pressure, if you will. Or if you're wearing Louis Vuitton, you must be a part of this group of people, if you will. It's really about keeping up with the Joneses or the Kumalos, if you will, in this space.
I'm glad you highlight that it really does speak to the preference of the individual and the consumer, who is aware that there could be other options available, but we're not encouraging the purchase of counterfeit goods. What I am keen to talk about is something that you've often calculated and actively participated in, is perhaps, even if you take a look at some of the calculations that have been shared, the cost of manufacture versus the market value. And we also see it in some of the headlines today. Your thoughts on that? Brand equity, essentially, how it's generated, how it's gained, and the luxury goods market as an example.
There is an age-old, centuries-old example of an artist who charged a client millions in the, I guess if you have to bring back to today's times, millions of dollars for a piece of artwork. And the client felt that they were ripped off. The client took the artist to court. And the court, the judge asked the artist, how long did it take you to do this? She says, but just 30 minutes or so, Your Honor. So I'm just roughly giving the story. She says, 30 minutes or so. And he says, for 30 minutes, you're charging $3 million, let's say, for example. He says, don't you think that is a bit of a rip-off? He says, not quite, Your Honor. It took me 30 years to be able to do this in 30 minutes. Are you with me? So when it comes to these things, it's not necessarily that perhaps even in this, the videos that are taking place, that somebody says, oh, but this costs $100, $1,600. Birkenstocks, he sells it for you for $160,000, whatever the number is. It's the point is, these luxury brands have got heritage, they've got history, and they pay attention to quality and to the service and the experience of buying into their brands. I mean, how else do you also explain somebody like a Maurizio Cattelan, who sells a banana stuck with the tape onto a wall and sells it for $6.4 million? You try that trick at home. Let's see how many people are going to buy your banana with a silver duct tape, because they are buying into the conceptual thinker, the originator, the person who brings the idea to bear. And that's in the luxury business. It's really about that. You're buying a certain, it's an entry level, is an entry card to a certain class or perceived class, to a certain status, to a certain society. So value is in the value is determined in many ways by the things. Let's talk about the heritage. I mean, when you look at Vuitton and Hermes, let's as an example, the Hermes, because that's one they've been talking a lot of, mm-hmm. is if you look at the history, they don't sell the bag. They sell the history, the craftsmanship, the time, yes. and the experience, but also they sell accessibility, because they limit the number of bags. And it'll take 2 years to buy, to get a Birkin, which truly, in the truth of the matter is, it probably doesn't take them as long as they say, but they'll give you 2 years, because that perception of scarcity is part of what makes luxury what luxury is.
Mm, definitely. Michael, I come to you in just a moment if you have some feedback or commentary that you'd like to share. But something else that I think comes to mind, Tebe, is, again, as you mentioned, scarcity promotes value. The perception is certainly what drives the brand equity. China, given that China has presented itself as a formidable manufacturer, even Michael's mentioned that not all things made out of China are bad. Look at their vehicles. Look at what we see in terms of some of the other fashion items. Are we seeing that consumers' perceptions of China and its value is shifting?
Of course it's shifting. There was, for many years, there was made in China. And made in China meant made cheap in China. That was what it used to be. But what China did, and made, I think maybe about 20 years ago, 15 years ago, they started shifting to made with China. And they said, you know, you have to make it with China, no longer just made in China, because they now wanted to make themselves, to elevate themselves as an equal and valuable partner in bringing some of these brands. Now, if you look at the luxury space, you look at a brand like one of our favorite brands is Shanghai Tang. That's probably the highest, the most luxurious, one of the most luxurious China luxury fashion brands. And they are, the China is now investing in ensuring that whether it's in technology, whether it's in vehicles, whether it's in fashion, that they are no longer just seen as made cheaply in China, but that they also have the range to speak to the range of customers, because there are customers that want inexpensive, but there are also customers who want luxury. I mean, the fact that you cannot do WhatsApp, you can do WeChat in China. Yeah. The fact that you can, are you with me? The fact that one of the most valuable brands out of China is Tencent, so shows you that China has risen to the stage now. That's why it is such a formidable global power. That's how when somebody says we give you 50% tariff, they say fine, we give you 125. So what you gonna do? Because they've built a leverage. They've got the customer base of 1.3 billion, 2 billion customers, and they've also closed off the borders to enable them to be able to create a competitive advantage, whether it is in the inexpensive or the mid or the luxury. And that's why China is what it is. It's a strong brand with a clear vision, with over 5,000 years of history. And they have certainly risen to the game. They produce incredible luxury brands as well as incredible inexpensive brands. So made in China is no longer as looked down as it used to be in the past. You just have to be a discerning customer, like you are a discerning customer when you go to Paris. Who says everything made in Paris is luxury? Not everything made in Paris is luxury. Maybe we just know Chloe, we know Dior, we know Hermès, and we know Louis Vuitton, but there's many other inexpensive brands in Paris. It's just that what Paris has, France has done very well, is also to build a nation brand. And just the same as Switzerland has built a nation brand. But how do you build these strong nation brands? You build them through the power of the individual brands. We know Switzerland for what it in financial services, because they've got some of the most formidable banks.
Yep.
And we look at them as a trusted country. We look at France as a luxury destination because of some of the brands you've mentioned, and they've created that. We know America to be entrepreneurial because of the entrepreneurial brands. So nobody goes to America for luxury brands, but America owns some of these luxury brands, which are not American.
Got you. Oh, Tebe, you've given us a full view of some of the themes that we need to bear in mind. So thank you so much for that education. Before I let you go, Michael, I just want to bring you back in. If there's one key takeaway that we as and the listeners of Kaya 959 need to bear in mind, what's that theme? Very briefly, if you can, in 30 seconds.
Well, I think that, you know, when we're looking at these videos, we need to be discerning. Of course, they're talking about quality, they're talking about, you know, get this the same quality of materials and things like that. But the reality is, if it was the same product, why would you need to copy? If your quality was so good or superior and your price point was so much better, why would you need to copy rather, or steal, in fact, rather than create your own thing? So we just have to remember that behind all the glitz and the glam and the TikToks and the savings, the counterfeit industry is not a victimless crime. There are child labor camps, in fact, even known in China, where these kind of things happen for counterfeit goods factories. Mm-hmm. So we have to be discerning. It's not victimless when we're buying into this propaganda of, you know, these luxury brands can be just buy counterfeit. It's cheaper. It's the same quality. It's, first of all, it's propaganda. And on top of it, like I say, there are victims at the end of the day. So we just need to be mindful at the end of the day, make sure that we're putting our money in where we believe, and human rights and other things are part of that. So I would say that's just another aspect to consider, you know, when clicking share or when buying into these videos.
100%. Gentlemen, you have both been such amazing guests. Tebe, I'm so keen to come back to you, but I'm being told ads. So thank you.
Don't make money for the station.
Said we can be a luxury brand, right? This luxury radio
station. So it can be a luxury brand.
I love
it. The next Bloomberg.
Indeed. Thank you so much to the both of you. I appreciate your time, yes, as well as the information you've shared. That's Tebe Kalafeng, founder of Brand Africa, and Michael Zaharif, co-founder of Luxity. Both great friends of the show, whom we speak to very often to get some insight, not only into the luxury space, but also what makes a brand valuable? How are brands determined? And of course, there's a lot of focus right now on the high-end luxury brands. And we'll continue to shed some light on the share price movements, on the social media space, and of course, details that come forward from there. So we'll give you some insight on that and so much more.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.